987. Oh, what amazing words of grace are in the gospel found, suited to every sinner's case who knows the joyful sound. Hymn 987.
Let us read together from the Word of God from two portions of Scripture. First, the book of Exodus, chapter 2, commence to read at verse 23 and as far as verse 15, chapter 3. Exodus, chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass, in process of time, that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. And now please turn to the first epistle, General of Peter. The first epistle, General of Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who, without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. Grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. May the Lord please to bless to us his word and be pleased to help us to pray. Kind, ever merciful and gracious Lord God, it is indeed thy mercy and kindness and goodness that enables us once more to come again into thy courts this Lord's day, the evening of it. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou be pleased to come and gather with us. Lord, we think of those words of what those two on the road to Emmaus, we often think of them. Especially the evening service of thy day. Oh, that the day is far spent. Abide with us. Lord Jesus, do come. Do abide with us. Do come, dear Lord, into our midst. Thou hast promised to be where two or three are gathered together in my name. There will I be in the midst. Thankfully, we're more than just two or three. Lord, we're not a massive congregation. But dear Lord, we believe there are those here, Lord, that have come tonight seeking a portion for their souls. We pray, dear Lord, that they may not go home disappointed. They may go home knowing something, receiving something of the blessing of God that makes rich, adding no sorrow therewith. We do pray, Lord, that thou would look down then from the height of thy heavenly sanctuary, even this evening hour, and behold this little house of God, and come, dear Lord, and dwell amongst us, and be found here as the master of the assembly. We seek, dear Lord, thy gracious help as we then come once more. Lord, and we pray, dear Lord, thy gracious presence and blessing. Oh Lord, do come and open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing even this evening this evening hour. Come, Lord. Lord, thou knowest just how each one has come to chapel tonight. Oh Lord, should there be a poor soul that's come, maybe cast down, or perhaps another has come, Lord, wanting to know thy will. As another has come, pray and show me some token for God. Another has come, with a who can tell. Lord, thou knowest all the state, all the conditions of each and every one, the desire of every heart and every soul that is before thee. And we pray, dear Lord, that there may be and a portion for seven and also for eight, so that none are left out, none go home empty. And Lord, and should there be, Lord, any that come in unconcerned, may they not go home empty either. May they go home inquiring their way thitherward unto Zion, inquiring their way to the mercy seat, pleading the name of Jesus. Gracious Lord, who put forth thy hand. O Lord, who mercifully, graciously work with divine power and unction in our midst, we do beseech thee. Pray, Lord, again for this little cause of truth and do bless them together. Do bind them together in love and unity, the bond of peace. Make thy goodness pass before them, undertake for them, be near them. Supply their every need. And Lord, do be round about them, we pray. Lord, do supply their need. Oh Lord, thou knowest what their need is. Lord, and we do pray then over thy blessing. Lord, we ask again to thee to remember the children and the young ones, Lord. They need thee. Oh Lord, at school they need thee. They need care, keeping, protection. Lord, from the many evils and dangers that advance to them, that they're taught in the school. Oh, that they may say and realise that some of those things are wrong. Lord, we do pray that open their eyes. Lord, that bless their souls. Lord, they may be found amongst those that we read of. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Lord, do graciously help. Oh, Lord, we pray that then be with each and every one. Oh, Lord, Lord, as even we've heard today of one of these young ones here, Lord, that stood and declared thy word and truth. Lord, and we pray thy gracious help still for each and one, every one. Oh, that they may not be afraid to say that there is a God in heaven, that there is an eternity, that there is a heaven or a hell. Lord, do be with them, graciously help them. Lord, and we pray thy blessing. We thank thee, Lord, that thou didst give a little one that courage to stand up and say so. We pray, Lord, then, that thou be with us each. Remember our friends, the deacons here. Undertake for them, Lord, and bless them. Bless their souls and help them, Lord, in all their cares, burdens, responsibilities, and undertake for them, Lord. Pray, dear Lord, that thou remember them for good. Lord, and since, dear Lord, this seems to be, Lord, that the last time that this poor man will ever stand here, we know not thy will, but, Lord, it seems that it will be so, but, Lord, we do pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to bless thy word. Ah, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that we please also, Lord, to raise up one amongst them, Lord, to an under-shepherd, to go in and out amongst them, to break the bread of life, and to point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. Lord, we pray that thou wilt graciously help them and guide and direct them in these matters. We do pray. Lord, we ask thee to graciously help. Our Lord, they need to be as one, Lord, in their choice, their selection, Lord, but they need to seek thee for that help, Lord, in these things, Lord, our Lord, and how so often these things, Lord, self and our own choices have to be put to one side and subject to the Lord's will and be subject to thee, Lord. Lord, do then graciously help them. We pray, Lord, that thou remember any in trials, troubles or difficulties. Arise for their help. Be with them, be near them. Lead and guide them. Direct them in their affairs, in providence and in grace. We do pray, dear Lord, that thou remember those at home tonight, looking after the little ones. Lord, do bless them there. Be with them and undertake for them. Lord, be gracious. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember others in sickness and afflictions, path here and there, we know of and think of, young ones and older ones. Think of those, Lord, walking in the valley of the shadow of death. Undertake for them. And we think of those, Lord, that mourn the loss of near and dear ones. Lord, do comfort their hearts, support them and strengthen them. Oh, so that the death of one, the death of mother or father, may be the means of quickening someone into divine life. We do pray. Oh, Lord, because we each need to be ready. Lord, it's the only thing we can really be certain of, and that is that one day we should be called to die. Oh, dear Lord, but may it be. It'll be like the dear apostle when he said, Oh, he had a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, and like the song of Solomon, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, Lord, do abundantly bless, we pray. Do be near. Lord, graciously help. Pray again for the nation. Govern those that govern us. Overturn evil designs of wicked men and frustrate their intentions. Bring a stop to war. Supply the need of those in need. Lord, where there's famine and death and disease, where, Lord, there's the lack of clean water, do supply. Gracious Lord, do help. Our Lord, and also help us to remember those, Lord, have left and forsaken thy ways. Lord, do mercifully appear. And Lord, and our fellow countrymen also. Oh, that thou hast plucked out that right hand out of thy bosom and work salvation in our midst. Hear then our prayers. Lord, be with all that we lovingly bear before thee. Lord, do mercifully, graciously help and undertake. Lord, there are those that would be here tonight if they could. Age and infirmity and weakness of the flesh prevents them, our own dear one included. But Lord, we do pray thy blessing to rest upon them. Oh, they may be kept and preserved. Lord, and we do pray that we may each be made ready for eternity. Lord, do then help us. We do thank thee, Lord, for all the mercies we have and receive and enjoy, day by day and hour by hour. Lord, thy mercies are truly great, they're many. We would not let these mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness and yet without praises die. And Lord, if we may humbly say so, we thank thee, Lord, for the help that we received here in the years past. On the occasions we've visited this congregation, and we prayed it, Lord, it may be so tonight. Pardon and forgive our all and every sin. Wash us in the fountain, clothe us in the righteousness of Jesus. But dear Lord, do come now. Do mercifully appear. Do undertake for us. Do help us. Lord, as we plead with the dear a woman who cried out, Lord, help me. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 772. Christ is the keeper of his saints. He guards them by his power, subdues their numerous complaints in every gloomy hour. Hymn 772.
Thank you.
in dependence upon the Lord. For all needed help, we ask your prayerful attention again to Psalm 33, verse 18 and 19. Psalm 33, verse 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Psalm 33, verse 18, 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Well, to try continue this thought here, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. This thought just comes to mind. And again, it's this thought of a poor sinner overcome with and by sin. Guilty. Perhaps there's one in here feels like this, so guilty of backsliding. Yes. Don't hear much about backsliding, do we? But I believe there are many a child of God that knows about her backsliding. Going back, slipping, falling, stumbling. Yes. And hanging our head in shame, blushing with shame, to think that we should ever be left to do and commit such sin and iniquity. Well, you know, there's dear Peter, isn't there? Poor man. So bold. Yes, and yet the Lord had graciously warned him, had he not? Peter, before the cock crow, thrice thou shalt deny me. Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And so it was. So it came to pass. And, you know, you see Peter there in the judgment hall. He denied these three times. And the cock crows. What do you read? And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. The eye of the Lord is upon Peter. Yes, and he's heard. He's heard what Peter has said. Came to pass what had been spoken. But, you know, what did it do? It all, you know, that was a most blessed look. On the one hand, it convinced Peter of his sin, of his transgression, of his fault, of his failing. On the other hand, it was a look of love. When the Lord had been crucified on Calvary's cross, and risen again from the dead, you read there, I think it's in Mark's Gospel, he appeared to the women, didn't he? And said to them, "Go and tell my disciples and Peter. Yes, Peter was still loved. Yes, Peter failed. But Peter's faith didn't fail. Dear soul, and if there's a poor guilty one here tonight, May you be found, dear soul, looking up, looking heavenward. Why, you know, there's this verse here in Isaiah chapter 45, which I suppose in a way summarises Peter. Look unto me, and be ye saved, you're the ends of the earth, for I'm God and there is none else. Look unto me. Yes, it is all, and there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, whereby we can be saved. It's the name of Jesus. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. Yes, and Peter was enabled with God-given faith to look up. Yes, yes, he knew what it was to mourn. He knew what it was to be miserable. He knew what it was to be cast down. He knew what the words of the Apostle Paul meant. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this sin and death? But behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Yes, and Peter's restored. And say, my soul, what not for thee? Yes. If we confess our sins, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What did Jesus himself say? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What did he say? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And here's Peter. Here's Peter. The Lord turned and looked upon him. Yes. And the Lord saw him as well. Yes. Mourning. Yes, outside. Peter weeping bitterly. Is how you know what it is. Yes, if you know what backsliding is, and you know the Spirit of grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ that restores, you'll know what a weeping is. You'll know what godly sorrow is. Yes. And you say, we come to the Lord in all our sinnership, vile and base, poor dependence of his grace. But he loves his people. Great and small and grasping hard, embraces all and nor with a soul apart. See, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. We cannot have anyone better. There is no one greater. To be found in the intercessory prayer of the dear Lord Jesus Christ. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And dear souls, don't think that the experience of Peter is excluded to Peter only, because it's not. There are some, yes, that know what this is. They come, yes, in all humility before the Lord. They come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. They fall down before him. They mourn. Yeah. But how merciful how gracious the Lord is. Why, you know, he says to us here in Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 44. Why, he says, I have formed thee, thou art my servant, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Why, what did we read a moment ago? Dear Peter, what's he say to us there in that chapter? Why, that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as gold and silver from your vain conversation. Yes. As much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but, oh, there's a blessed, gracious but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, but with the precious blood of Christ. Yeah. The blood of Christ divinely flows, a healing balm for all our woes. Yes. What does this text say to us here? The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, hope to deliver their soul from death. Dear soul, it's the precious blood of Christ alone that can deliver your soul and mine from eternal death. It's the precious blood of Christ alone. There's nothing else. There is nothing else that can make atonement for your sin and deliver your soul from death other than the blood of Jesus Christ, God's dear Son. When I was a lad, a boy, young lad, why, hear the minister speak about blood, I just switched off. Couldn't cope with it. But dear soul, it's such a blessed theme, is it not? Oh, yes. If my mind's correct, I think we sung this hymn on Friday evening, 174. Jesus is precious, says the word. Comfort does this truth afford. But he says here, he's precious in his precious blood. That pardoning and soul cleansing flood. He's precious in his righteousness, that everlasting heavenly dress. But what does good Joseph Iron say to us here in the last hymn of our book? What sacred fountain yonder springs up from the throne of God, and all new covenant blessings brings, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. What mighty sum paid all my debt when I a bondman stood, and as my soul at freedom set, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. What stream is that which sweeps away my sins just like a flood, nor lets one guilty blemish stay? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. Oh, dear soul, it's the precious blood of Christ. Yes. You know, Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, deliver their soul from death. Why, you go back here then. Not exactly where we read, but here in the Exodus. Children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt. And the command was given about the Passover and killing the lamb. And why? And they were to eat this Passover with their loins girded. Yes, as shoes on their feet, staff in your hand. Eat it in haste, the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the gods, all the gods of the Egyptian of Egypt, I will execute judgment, I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood. And when I see the blood. I will pass over you. Yes, and when I see the blood. Yes, is all for the sweet and blessed application of that blood of Christ upon your heart and soul and mind. Why? You see, that blood there was, is it read? We just read it, was for a token. It was a sign, it was an evidence that here was the children of God dwelling within this home. The blood was sprinkled upon the doorposts and lintels. When I see the blood, I will pass over. The destroying angel passes by, passes over. Yes, all. And blessed be his name. You see, he sprinkles his people with his own heart's blood. They're cleansed. There's application. The blood of Christ. Oh, friends, it's a wonderful theme. It's a wonderful thought. The blood of Christ. Dear soul, it cleanses from all sin. I said a moment ago, when I was young, I couldn't bear the subject of this. I just switched off. But now, I wish I knew how to fully declare it. Oh, to point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. Yes, the dear hymn writer speaks about that, does he not? In that well-known hymn 1:4:4. Yes. Why, this is the way I long have sought. I mourned because I found it not. My grief, my burden long has been because I could not cease from sin. The more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more, till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. Then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. I'll point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way that a God. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death. Yes, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Yes, we've been speaking really mainly about the salvation of your point of a dying soul and mine. But, you know, there's also the path of providence that God's people are called to walk and pass in and through. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Yes. You say, well, that's it. Do I hear someone say, well, yes, I hope I've had some answers of prayer in a providential way, in a providential matter, but I can't think that I'm amongst them that fear him. So, you prayed about a providential matter, and the Lord gave you an answer, and you were thankful for it. Let me ask you, do you think your colleague at work, who makes no profession of religion, do you think he or she would ask the Lord to help them in any particular way, in any particular matter? The answer is no, isn't it? Yes. You know, it comes back to this. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And sinner, you wouldn't have asked God to appear for you in that path of providence unless you believe that there is a God in heaven that hears and answers prayer. So, sinner, don't cut yourself off. What I say to you is this. Press on. Press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. Make your requests and your petitions known unto him. You prayed about that providential matter. Well, just try and see if you can pray about that never-dying soul of yours. You can say, Lord, I want something. Do you want something, dear soul? Something that this world has not to give. Not obtainable in the shops. You can't get it from Amazon. It's not available on the internet. I tell you where it's available, dear soul. You and I on our knees before God at the throne of grace. That's where it's available. And he's promised, yes, to regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. You know, this psalm just comes to my memory, my thought. You know, I think it's here. Psalm 109, I believe. And yes, the psalmist says this in Psalm 109 and verse 20. 21. But do thou for me, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake. Now you take that to the Lord in prayer, dear soul. Make a mental note of it. Psalm 109, verse 20, mark 1. But do thou for me, yes, O God the Lord, for thy namesake. Yes, dear soul, it's for his name's sake. His name, his honour, his glory. But do thou for me. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Well, we read a moment ago about the children of Israel. Here they were. Yes, it's a very telling portion of God's word, is it not? And, you know, those last verses of the first chapter of Exodus. And it reads, doesn't it? And they cried. And their cry came unto God, by reason of the bondage. Is all? Is your cry coming unto God by reason of those things that you walk and pass through, whether they're providence or grace? And he reads this. Yes, what did we say this morning? Well, the Lord tells us here, and God heard their groaning. And God heard their groaning. And dear soul, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he still hears those cries, those feeble desires, those wishes so weak. 'Tis Jesus inspires and bids thee still seek. He heard the groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Yes. And God remembered his covenant. Yes, dear soul. And he'll remember this covenant, dear soul, that he will regard the prayer of the destitute. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Not I might, not I may. I will if I got time. These are, of course he has time. Yes. And he will regard. But you come into chapter 3, Exodus. And here's Moses at the backside of the desert. Now he's feeding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. And here he is, and there's a bush. And it's burning, but it's not consumed. This is a mystery. I can't understand this. I'm going to go and have a look. Yeah. I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not consumed. And when God saw that he turned aside to see, well, dear soul, you will not be seeing a bush that's burning and not being consumed like Moses did at the backside of a desert. But this whole, I put it like this. You take hold of God's word. And, or perhaps you, as you listen to the preaching of the word, and a certain subject comes up, and you say to yourself, I must get to understand this. Yes. I don't understand this mighty doctrine, this that has been advanced. And you take hold of the book, the Bible, and you read a chapter. And you look at all the cross-references. Yeah, why? To get an understanding. To get down to the opening up of this, what is to you a hidden mystery of the word of God's grace. Well, dear soul, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, it's all, and the Lord sees you and I turning aside to see, to search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, said the Lord Jesus Christ. But then again, why, Moses down here further, the Lord appears to him, says, I am the God of thy father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, Moses is frightened, afraid. The Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. You see, dear soul, he has seen, he's heard, and he knows all about your troubles and trials and problems and difficulties. Blessed be his glorious name. I have surely seen. Seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Yes. And he says to further down, doesn't he not? Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. But perhaps I've gone a little too fast, because I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land into a good land and a large. Yes, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death. His soul, he hears. He knows. Yes. I've got to come back again. Something has just come to my mind here. And it's in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And, you know, here, we've got this man here, haven't we? Yeah. What's his name? Nathaniel. Yeah. May this be an encouragement to someone here tonight. By Peter, Philip findeth Nathaniel. Saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses, the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Nathaniel, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith, come and see. Jesus saw Nathaniel coming to him, saith, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathaniel, said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Whence knowest thou me? He's never seen Jesus before. It's evident that he was looking and watching and waiting, as they were in those days. They were looking for this Saviour, Jesus, God's dear Son, to come, this Prince of Peace. And what was the Lord's answer? Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. I saw thee. When thou wast under the fig tree. There's perhaps many thoughts of what Nathaniel was doing under the fig tree. But I believe there's this thought, and I hope it's the right thought. You see, he was praying. You know, you read about Jacob, don't you? He went out into the field at midnight. He went out into the field to meditate, rather. Not at midnight. He went out into the field to meditate. And Nathaniel's here, under the fig tree, praying. Yes, dear soul, would that be true of you and I? Before that Philip called thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Dear soul, he sees us when we see not him. There's a line here in the hymn, 308 in the second part. He sees us when we see not him, and always hears our cry. And always hears our cry. And dear soul, if you, poor soul, have gone home from this house of God a few times in the past, and you've gone, that secret spot and place, shut yourself away from everybody else. Yes. Dear soul, the Lord has seen you. The Lord has seen you. He's seen and he's heard. He's heard of those cries. That following psalm, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, his ears are open unto their cry. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Oh, blessed be his glorious name. Yes, behold, the eye of the Lord upon them that fear him. So, this all, whatever it may be, this all, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. We haven't touched this piece, have we? Part of the text. Upon them that hope. You know, there's this word here. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Three times the word them. Yes. What does Malachi say? Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And dear soul, and more than that, these characters are found in the intercessory prayer of the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for all them whom thou hast given me, for they are thine and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. So, sometimes these little words are so real, so important, are they not? So telling. Yes, but here, upon them that hope in his mercy. Upon them that hope in his mercy. Some of the old ministers, when I was a boy, I used to hear them say something like this, that right, the soul being raised up to a hope in God's mercy. Dear soul, are you raised up to a hope in God's mercy? Maybe, dear soul, first of all, poor soul, you and I feel to be sinking down. Sinking down and down and down. Over a pit. Oh, yes. But you know this, all it's this, isn't it? If ever my poor soul be saved, it's Christ must be the way. Yes, my hope is built on nothing less save Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean upon his dear name. Yes, dear soul, you lean there. You lean there, dear soul. And he will not deceive thee. His loving kindness. You know, again, there in that reading in Peter's epistle tonight. It was this verse that attracted me. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yes, yes, oh. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He died for our offences, but he rose again for our justification. Sinner, Christ died for the ungodly. Paul tells us that in Romans 5. Yes, sinner, he died for the ungodly. You can come in there, can't you? But you see, it was these. Again, what Paul writes in Hebrews. Solemn chapter 6 of Hebrews. These are the fled for refuge, to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is formed, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Who have fled for refuge, to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. I don't doubt for a moment that the gospel is preached here by God's dear servants as they come week after week. And dear soul, and do you not from time to time feel that Christ, the hope set before you? Yes. Let me quote it again. My hope is built on nothing less save Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean upon his dear name. Yes, who have fled for refuge. This whole, you fled for refuge. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Yes, to deliver their soul from death. To deliver their soul from death. Well, I've spoken about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's his death. The death that caused the blood to flow. Jesus crucified. To know my Jesus crucified. By far excels all things beside. All earthly good I cannot but loss and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Knowledge of all terrestrial things near to my soul true pleasure brings. No peace but in the Son of God. No joy but through his pardoning blood. Yes, it is all. It's his blood that pardons. His blood that forgives. His blood is all that cleanses from all sin. I told you before, I hope you'll bear with me as I just repeat it again, very briefly, but oh, how one injured one's hand at work one day. Oh, this dirty, filthy hand of mine. Cut it quite badly, took a handkerchief out and wrapped round it, and a few minutes later went to attend to it, to wash this. I must attend to it. As I looked at this hand, looked at this cut, and the blood flowing from it. All around that cut, it was as clean as clean. My own blood had washed away all the dirt around that cut. And those words dropped so, so sweetly into my heart and soul. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Yes, it is all. If my blood and your blood can cleanse away dirt and filth and a wound and injury that you and I have, how much more this all, the blood of Christ, cleanses from all sin, from all iniquity, to deliver their soul from death. Yes, you see, it's the blood that delivers from death, eternal death. But then there's this, and I must close, to keep them alive in famine. Yes, the eye of the Lord is upon them. Yes, to that fear him, that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. I was struck with the verse hymn tonight. Yes, about hunger and thirsting. You know, this word comes to mind. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. My people shall be satisfied with the fatness of my house. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Yes, it is all, the time of love will come, when thou shalt clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but thou shalt save me. Oh, yes, it is all, he feeds his people. It gives that satisfying portion. I believe there are those here that know what it is to go home sometimes from the house of God, having received, as the hymn writer puts, a crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave. And they received the crumb, like the dear woman. She came with the Lord to the Lord Jesus. He knew what he was doing with her, and he knows what he's doing with you, dear soul. He was trying her faith. She stood her ground. And she said, Lord, help me. It was not meet to cast the children's bread, give the children's bread, cast it to the dogs. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Yes, dear soul. Yes, as O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. Yes, dear soul. And you and I sometimes come up to the house of God in language of that dear woman. A crumb of mercy. Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have or with the children's bread. Yes, and you go home feeling you've had a crumb on the master's table. Well, we must draw to a close. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Amen.
The collections today are for the FGEA. God willing, Mr. Timothy Pocock is expected to preach on Monday evening, and Mr. Roland Wheatley next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1056. 1056. See a poor sinner, dearest Lord, whose soul, encouraged by thy word, at mercy's footstool would remain, and there would look and look again. Hymn 1056.
benediction. Will you please remain seated? Dear Lord, we do pray, I bless and to rest upon thy word. Lord, as we've endeavoured once more to preach, feel it being a feeble attempt. But Lord, it's not mine, it's thy word. Do graciously own and bless and thy name, and thy name shall have all the honour, glory and all the praise. Be with us, Lord, as we part. Lord, we know not whether we shall see each other here again, but thou knowest. It's all in thy wise decree, Lord, and we must look and watch and wait to see how thy will unfolds. So, Lord, we lovingly commit and commend this people to thee. Lord, as the dear apostle commended those in his day, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and establish and strengthen and settle you. Lord, then do bless. Now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and always. Amen. I was very touched with the sweet token you kindly presented to me this morning of a copy of the Word of God in the Trinitarian Bible Society, the Westminster edition. It's a very lovely Bible. I thank you for it and for the very kind and touching inscription inside. But Lord, dear friends, it's more than that inscription, is it not? It's the word of God's grace, which I just said a moment ago in prayer, and is able to build you up and strengthen and settle you and establish you in the truth. I can say, I think I always have said, it's been a pleasure to come to Swayze to preach, and it still remains the same. You've conveyed via your deacons that you're going to miss me coming, and I'm saying to you, I'm going to miss coming. It's been a joy and a pleasure to preach Jesus Christ to you. So I would indeed, as the Apostle says, commend you to God. And part of this, these few verses that I want to read, was part of the inscription that was in the Bible you presented me. Numbers chapter 6 and verses 24, 5 and 6. Lord, bless thee and keep thee. Lord, make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I would also just like, please, to ask you to join in singing this hymn that I have chosen, 631, and the tune is 156. I'll read the first and the last verse, 631, the Lord himself be with you all to teach you his own will and guide you safe and from every thrall to Zion's heavenly hill. The Lord be with you to the end and land you safe above, a long eternity to spend in singing God is love. 631. we can only say amen and amen.